One of the many saints that you may or may not be familiar with is Saint Teresa of Avila. Saint Teresa was a Carmelite nun known for her tremendous prayer life and her reform of the Carmelite order in the 1500s. From a young age, Teresa just wanted to give her life to God. Actually, you know, when she was only 7 years old, she decided she wanted to be a martyr for the faith. So she took her 5-year-old brother and decided to leave their house and go find someone to bring a holy death to them. Now, thankfully, their uncle found them at the city gates and immediately took them home. But as she got older, that youthful zeal began to wear off. She entered the Carmelite monastery when she was only 20 years old. Now, think about it. If you've ever known someone to enter a monastery, you probably automatically think that they're close with God, right? Well, Teresa, at this time, though not living a life of sin, entered the monastery not because she felt extremely close with our Lord, but because she didn't feel called to marriage at the time, and a good friend of hers had just entered the monastery. So she decided to join her. Well, when she entered, the monastery was actually in a spiritually bad state. When you think of nuns, you might think of movies like The Bells of St. Mary's. Well, we think of women who give their lives radically to God, right? Well, in this monastery, some nuns had suites of rooms and servants and pets. Now, this stood out to Teresa, but she chose to ignore it. Eventually, she succumbed to the worldliness herself, spending vast amounts of time entertaining visitors and friends in the parlor of the monastery, giving herself over to various compromises with vanity. She continued to let her surroundings affect her faith. It wasn't until she was 39 that God reawakened her from her lukewarm life, in which she revivified her desire for holiness that she had had when she was young. That's 19 years into living at the monastery. She once again encountered the love she had had for Christ when she was a child. This conversion opened her eyes to the areas of the church that needed conversion as well. She witnessed and experienced what can happen to people, even in places where people profess total dedication to God. She became aware of how much church institutions, right, beginning with the Carmelite convents, needed profound reform. And despite great personal suffering, she'd spend the rest of her life trying to be an instrument to bring her fellow Carmelites, and through them, the church, back to her first love, Jesus Christ. You see, the church is always in need of reform and of holy reformers, who are instruments of God to bring us back to what Jesus and Bethany called the quote-unquote better part and the one thing necessary. So in the first reading this morning, the Israelites were thirsty, and they were fed up with Moses. I mean, remember now, the chosen people had been suffering slavery and the threat of total extermination in Egypt. Yet God had miraculously set them free with Moses as their leader. He had led them out of Egypt, but now they were lacking water. They seemed to be lost, and the promised land to which God had promised them seemed far and distant. In fact, if you're paying attention, they had begun to question whether or not God was even there. You see, they had a thirst for God, for his presence, his attention, his care, his aid. In their suffering, they could not perceive his presence, and their hearts had become hardened by their experiences and frustration. But as a loving father, God, of course, made himself known to them once more by giving them water from the rock. In the gospel, we heard the famous story of the woman at the well. I love this story. Now, this Samaritan woman epitomizes someone who was looking for love in all the wrong places. So she knew her religion, but she also clearly experienced rebellion in her heart against God's will regarding marriage, which is why she starts to give our Lord some attitude initially in their conversation. I mean, clearly, this woman's heart had been hardened by many past experiences in life. She thirsted for true love, yet had not found it. She had constantly been disappointed by the men to whom she had entrusted herself. And thus she had no more time for the institution of marriage, or perhaps for her childhood faith. Meanwhile, there was our Lord, who thirsted for her faith and her love. He knew that he was dealing with a broken and hardened heart that was frustrated and hurt. Using the image of living water, he told her that only through having a friendship with him, God himself, her creator, would she ever be ultimately satisfied in her thirst for happiness. You see, the Samaritan woman had a deep thirst, a deep desire, a desire for meaning and purpose, a desire that only God could fulfill, a desire that she had tried to have satisfied through her many immoral relationships, but of which only left her to desire even more. Again, she had looked for love in all the wrong places. This desire would not be filled from worldly successes or pleasure or even human relationships. I mean, think about it. This woman was very much like the ancient Israelites in the desert, who were grumbling against God, even though the suffering they had to endure was not the fault of God, but the Israelites themselves. Both the Samaritan woman and the Israelites had to have an encounter with God himself before they were able to break free from their hardened hearts. True fulfillment, the living water of which Christ spoke, could only be given by the one who possessed it, God himself. God alone could share with those who put their trust in him and follow after him. The Israelites, St. Teresa of Avila, and this woman all had to realize that sinful or mediocre things of the world only gave temporal and shallow pleasure. In other words, only in God could that thirst in their hearts find fulfillment, be satiated. After learning to trust in the Lord, we know the Israelites would eventually be led into the promised land. St. Teresa of Avila had to have a second conversion, 19 years into living a monastic life, before she began to truly serve the Lord and bring others to see the shallowness and mediocrity of the lives they were leading. Now, if you notice, I know it was a long gospel, but in one single conversation, the Samaritan woman went from calling our Lord Sir to Prophet to Messiah. In other words, she had a conversion moment. And then after having encountered our Lord, what did she do? She could not wait to lead others to him, and she brought the whole village to him. The encounter with the very source of happiness himself had changed her life. Now, this longing for more, this desire for satisfaction, is a desire that, of course, everyone has. Right? It's a desire that's been placed in our hearts from the moment we were created. I mean, I preached on this many times. It's the reason why every culture, down through the ages of human history, have partaken in some sort of religion, because our hearts recognize we cannot be satisfied with this temporal world alone. We long for more. We recognize there has to be more to life than what meets the eye. Yet, like the Israelites, St. Teresa and the Samaritan woman, many of our hearts can easily become hardened when we choose to live in sin, or just simply when we become disheartened by experiences we've had. Or like the Israelites, perhaps we no longer feel God's presence in our lives as we once did. I know we all can think of someone, like the Samaritan woman, whose heart had become so hardened that he or she has abandoned the church, his or her faith. Someone who has given up hope in humanity in a way. Or even if he has not given up practicing the faith completely, a hardened person just goes through the motions because he knows he has to. In this state, a person often flees from our Lord. He doesn't want to talk about him. You know, the poet Francis Thompson wrote about this flight from our Lord in his famous poem, The Hound of Heaven. Now, I highly recommend you read this poem sometime. You might be able to relate to it. So in the beginning of the poem, Thompson writes, "I fled him, down the nights and down the days. I fled him, down the arches of the years. I fled him, down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. Of this stayed hopes I sped, and shot, precipitated, adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears, from those strong feet that followed, followed after." Whose feet are those? The Lord's. You see, our Lord was called the Hound of Heaven by Thompson for a reason. A hound, as we know, is a hunting dog that chases the fox until he catches it, even going into the fox's den to chase it out. Our Lord, as the Hound of Heaven, is always seeking our hearts. He knows that only in him can we ever be satisfied. And he's even willing to meet us in the den of our sins, in the lies of dissipation or mediocrity or discouragement or hurt that we choose to lead in order to draw us out of to himself. Christ offered the Samaritan woman living water. In this context, the living water is an allegory that our Lord uses for the eternal happiness given through the sacrament of baptism that he would soon initiate. He was telling her that only through entering into a relationship with him through the sacraments could she ever find any enduring fulfillment in this life and eternal happiness in the life to come. But that requires a conversion for her, for us, and to let go of the hardness of sin. For our OCI candidates, you are deciding to let go of the lives you've led previously to be received into Christ's church. For all of us here, we do not need to be living a life far away from God to have our hearts be hardened in some way. We can be practicing Catholics and still be hardened, like St. Teresa's heart was. We can come to Mass each weekend and still be hardened. We are all in need of constant reform. During this sacred season of Lent, we are called to examine our lives to see what may be hardening our own hearts in order to celebrate the Paschal mystery, Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, and ascension in a profound way this Easter. Right? Perhaps our hearts have become hardened to God because we're so used to church. We're so used to going to Mass that we just go through the motions and we do not really make any spiritual growth each week. We do it out of habit and not out of love. Perhaps our hearts have been hardened because of church scandal in the past. Or perhaps we're hardened because of the burden of the state of our lives. Maybe we're struggling through a difficult marriage or a difficult job. Perhaps we're just so hardened because we're weighed down with the stresses of our lives that we, like the ancient Israelites, we've forgotten to ask God for help or to ask for help in trusting him more. Or we doubt God's presence in our lives, or that he would even help us if we did ask. We think our situation is hopeless. Whatever it may be, our Lord, as the Hound of Heaven, is always seeking us out, desiring us to be in a true and regular sacramental relationship with him, desiring us to one day be in heaven. Yet have we responded to him? Have we responded to his seeking? Do we ever receive his mercy in the sacrament of confession? Do we receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist worthily in the state of grace? Do we trust that he can give us authentic fulfillment if we but let go and say yes to following after him? If we sense some hardness in our hearts in some way toward our Lord, well, then that is our sign that we need to respond to his invitation. On this third Sunday of Lent, what may be hardening our hearts from seeking the living water that he has to offer, from fully giving over ourselves to Christ?